Thank you, Jesus, for this morning. You can all be seated. There's something about the presence of God. It's an old, really old song, and it's kind of a little weird sometimes, but you just sit there and you think about God, and you think about His presence, and the stuff of the today, and the stuff of yesterday, and the stuff of this week, it really does melt away if you stop thinking about it. Start focusing on God. So that's my challenge to you today. Just be in the presence of God today. Be in the moment with God today in all this service. So if this is your first time here, whether you were, maybe you came at 10 or maybe you're here at 11 or maybe you're watching online, if this is your first time here, we're really excited that you're worshiping with us today. We welcome you. Just so you know, Pastor Roy is our senior pastor, and Sister Lois, they're out actually preaching at a church in Pennsylvania this morning. They would love to be here, but on behalf of them, I'm welcoming all of you this morning. So for those of you that are here, and also we have a little card, greenish colored, and it's a connection card. And if you didn't get one of these, I'd ask that you fill it out. Just a couple quick questions because we want to get to know you better. And then actually we're going to have a couple videos this morning. So we'll have one video right here for a Mother's Memorial promotion. We'll let that one start. And that was the video. Awesome. We'll see more videos in the future, but essentially the ladies ministry puts out every year, there's an offering for Mother's Memorial, and I'm not going to try to pretend to list or know offhand every single item on it, but I guarantee you it's going to good causes. And so their focus is She can, with what we can give, it can impact women and mothers and families throughout all the world. And so the verse is, she hath done what she could. So ladiesministry.com has some more information. We'll be having more information. There's plenty of announcements that are going to go out on this. We'll get this video figured out at some point, maybe at the end. But either way, that's normal. Technology happens sometimes. Believe me, we're in this world now, right, where it's all video calls and stuff, and how many times, like, you're on mute, or I can't hear everybody, or I don't see this one person, so... this is normal. It's 2022. We're still learning. As far as giving options, if you'd like to give this morning, we have a lot of different ways to give. You can give online. You can give in person. There's a box out in the front. We still are not passing any plates or anything like that or bags. You can give by mail if you so choose, if you want to continue to support the U.S. Postal Service. And then also there is an app. I don't have my phone with me, but if you have your phone, there's an app for the church, and you can give on that. And so use the Church Center app. You can find that on all the major phones. Couple of quick announcements about services. Mother's Day service is on May 8th, and we're going to be celebrating moms. So if you are a mom, or if you have a mom, you got that. Yeah. If you are a mom, or if you have a mom, you should bring them or bring yourself, because we want to celebrate moms on that day. That'll be at the 11 a.m. service. We'll still have our 10 a.m. Sunday school. So be here with your family. Husbands, get everybody together. You know, maybe take a picture after church. That usually goes a long way for me. And so Mother's Day on May 8th. The last announcement I have is regarding Bratfest. How many people know what Bratfest is? Yeah, it's a place where they try to sell the most brats every year. And you get to eat brats, and there's music and games and stuff like that. It's a lot of fun. But maybe some of you don't know that we are blessed. Calvary Gospel Church is one of the groups that is blessed with the opportunity to volunteer at Bratfest. And I say blessed because the people that put this on, they actually give money to the volunteers. So volunteers can make anywhere from $9 to $11 an hour. And it goes to, not to you, it's called volunteer. You work, church gets the money, or the ministry that you're working for gets the money, right? And so for over the last 10 years, we've been doing this, and thousands have been donated to Calvary Gospel Church in the ministries and helping people in this church. And this year, Bratfest is desperate for help. If you would like to help, it's doing things like standing there and selling the brats. So somebody comes up and says, I'll take a brat, and you tell them, you know, here's the iPad 250. Or grilling the brats, which is the most fun, and you smell horrible at the end of the day. That's a lot of fun as well. If you're interested and you have the app, go on to the Church Center app, look for the Bratfest Volunteers group in the Church Center app, and that's one way to do it. Or you can contact Sister Kim Knopp. Sister Kim Knopp, can you wave your hand for everybody to see? Sister Kim. Or just ask around after church if you didn't really notice. Be like, where's Kim? They'll point you to her. So don't leave right away. Give it a couple of minutes, Sister Kim. And then any hours that you can work, if you say, hey, I can work 2 hours or 8 hours or 20 hours, whatever you could do, it will be a blessing to you and to this church. Now, something that I believe in is that when honor is due, we should give honor, right? not that someone asked for it, but because of when honor is due, we should give it. And so because of that, and that's in the Bible, because of that, we do have an announcement this morning that I'm going to ask Sister Fiona to come up and give.
Praise the Lord, church. I have the privilege this morning of honoring a very special lady, and I'd like her to come at this time, Abigail Powell. Some of you may know, and for those of you who don't know, today is Music Minister Appreciation Day, and Abby has been our music minister here at Calvary Gospel Church for some time. And what I really appreciate about Abby is that, again, some of you may not know this, but she has a full-time job that she works on top of all the things that come with that and family, and she is still maintaining, keeping our music ministry going and keeping the services going. And I just wanted to give her, on the behalf of the church, a token of our appreciation for all that she's done. Yes, go ahead. I asked her, oh, go ahead. I asked her if she wanted to say anything, and she graciously declined. But we just want to let you know how much we appreciate you, all the efforts, seen and unseen, that you put in and week out. We just want to let you know we love you and appreciate all you do.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Sister Fiona, and thank you, Abby. We love you and appreciate you. If you could stand, we'd like to say a prayer this morning for this service. And if you're praying, and maybe you're listening to me, maybe you're praying, but just pray that God speaks to you this morning. You know, that's all. Pray that God meets you and speaks to you this morning. And also, I mentioned Pastor Roy and Sister Lois are out in Pennsylvania speaking. He's probably just about to get up to speak in 15 minutes. Let's pray that God anoints him and is with him in that service. And that, yes, we all want to experience God here, but God's everywhere. Let's pray that God would be with him and with all the people in that service. Thank you, God, for today. Thank you for your love and your grace and everything you're doing in this church and in our lives. God, Lord, I pray that you would be here. We know you're here already, God. We know your presence is here, God. Speak to us, God. Let me hear you. Let me know you, God, this morning. Let every person here experience you in some way, God. Through the music and the preaching and maybe through the altar call or through prayer, God. And God, we pray for our pastor, Pastor Roy and Sister Lois, as they're in Pennsylvania. I pray that you would anoint him, that you would be with him, that you would speak through him, and that all the people in that church, God, would be changed and their lives would be touched. In Jesus' name, amen.
So hard to see it, took me so long to believe it, that you choose someone like me to carry your victory. Perfection could never earn it, you give what we don't deserve it. You take the broken things and raise them to glory.
In the head.
Our hands and worship him right now. Hallelujah, Jesus. You're worthy, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. I worship your name. I worship your name, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, you have won the victory.
Praise God. Let's pray together that our hearts will be open to the Word of God. Thank you, Jesus, for your presence in this place. I pray, God, for your anointing upon myself as I minister the Word, but upon all of us, oh God, that we can hear your voice and that your Spirit can accomplish the work that you desire through your Word here today. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. I'm going to sneak a preach on myself. I just need to share this. I get texts from Brother Parker and from Brother Caskey. They're kind of the short devotionals, thoughts for the day. Brother Caskey this morning said, one of the gifts of the Spirit listed in 1 Corinthians 12 is the gift of discerning of spirits. The word discerning in the text comes from a Greek word, and he goes on to explain what discerning of spirits, what the word means, and why it's given to us. Paul warned the Corinthian church that Satan could appear as an angel of light. His warning was that men could be deceived by this type of voice and could act as an apostle, but in reality they're acting under the influence of a deceiving spirit. And there's more to it. But then I look at Brother Parker's thought for the day. And his thought for today is, watch out for those spirits. And then he uses the verse, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out in the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And he continues, I just thought it was powerful that these two men of God, these two elders in my life and in our district, have the same word from the Lord at the same on the same morning. The book of Hebrews says that the word of God is alive and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrow. God's word is alive. It's too easy for us to come to church and wait through the service so that we can go do what we want to do the rest of the day. But when the Word of God is present, there's a living, moving Word that God has designed to touch us and change us. I appreciate the fact that Pastor Peter, when he taught this morning, he taught this from the story of Joseph that we've been following in our lessons, but he cautioned us, if I can use that term, to let's get in the moment of the story. Really what he was saying is let God talk to you from this story today, even though you've heard it 1,000 times. And I told him afterwards that there was a point when he was teaching where the Word of God just kind of got me. And I can't ignore that. I have to take that to heart. Praise God. I'm so grateful for the Word of God. I'm so grateful that it's alive. Romans says that it's by the foolishness of preaching that God chooses to save some. And then it goes on to say that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. That's why we're here this morning. So I'm going to read a story that you're familiar with from Luke 15. Luke 15:11. Then he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided to them his livelihood. Not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in the land, and he began to be in want. Funny how things change when we're in need. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. Which, of course, the story is poignant to the Jewish listeners that Jesus was speaking to, because, of course, pigs were the emblem and the reality of the most unclean animal that they could consider. So this is total uncleanness. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. This is that be humble in work thing, Brother Peter. And I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father, but when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and am no longer to be worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. This is really the part that I want to focus on. Now his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, your brother has come, and because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf. But he, the older son, was angry and would not go in. Therefore his father came out and pleaded with him. Notice in both cases, the father is the one who comes to the son. So he answered and said to his father, lo, these many years I've been serving you. I've never transgressed your commandment at any time. That just gives me pause to wonder, never? Okay, anyway. And yet you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed the fatted calf for him. And he said to him, son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. Amen. I know that's a lot of story, but I need 3 or 4 volunteers from this side of the auditorium. All right, thanks, Brother Jay. And come on up, brother. Anyone else? I need 2 more people. There we go. 1 more. Yeah, thank you. Come on, and then I need 3 or 4 from this side. Sure, Eric, you can come up, yeah. Brother Josh, come on up, Isaac. All right, 1 more. We need 1 more. All right, thank you. Just stand together there for a minute. You can look at each other or look at the group or whatever. All right, and this is just, you know, there's a thing that's prevalent in our day. Everybody, it seems, has an opinion about social issues and political issues, and everybody thinks their opinion is important enough that everyone else should listen to it, and that they should be able to make that argument. And this side over here, they have an opinion, and their opinion is that everybody on this side is terrible, and what they say is wrong, and what they do is wrong, and the people that stands for what they believe is a terrible person. Well, of course, the people on this side then of the argument, they say, yeah, well, what about what you believe in your guy and what you think and what you say? And this group then says, oh, yeah, well, what about... It's called whataboutism. What about this and what about that? No, we try to justify our own point of view or our own behavior by pointing out what's wrong with somebody else's behavior. Or their failures or their weaknesses. But of course, in the end, it doesn't make our behavior any more acceptable or make up for our own failures. All right, what about this one? So I need one person to stay up here, and the rest can, one from each side. All right, good. Go ahead, have a seat. Eric's going to stay up here. I didn't make it a point not to use my children as examples, but, I mean, he's here, so. What about this? What about that? What about him? What about her? But I want to do a twist to this little what about-ism. Let's say these two guys work for the same company. And this guy shows an interest in developing technology, and he gets on top of it. And they're both IT guys, as a matter of fact. So, and he gets an idea, and he takes a hold of it, develops it, and he presents it to his boss, and his boss says, "That's good. As a matter of fact, I was just leaning in that direction. We need someone to head up this new idea, this new department. I'm going to give you a new position and a raise." And this guy, well, he's been showing up for work every day, and when there's overtime, he takes it. He does what he's supposed to do, and he shows up, does his job, but all he gets is the annual cost of living adjustment. That's his raise. No new position, no, and he's been here longer than this guy. And, of course, when he finds out about his promotion, he says, "What about me? What about me?" All right, you can be seated. Thank you. Let's give him a hand. So we do that a lot. It's what about them? Or what about him? Or else it's what about me? I want to talk about what about me this morning. This happens even in families when you have sibling rivalry. We talked about sibling situations this morning with Joseph. Some parents have the habit of playing their children one against another, which never made sense to me. Don't comparing one child. Why can't you be more like your brother? I had four brothers, so I could choose which one I wanted to be more like. And two sisters, and I didn't want to be like them. But this can happen in a family where, again, we talked about it in the first session, where there's an emotional favoritism. This is a habit we see in Abraham's descendants, and their Isaac and Rebekah, they had favorites between Jacob and Esau, each of them. And it created a lot of problems. And then, of course, Jacob had his favorites, Joseph. Now, it doesn't mean that you can't give credit where credit is due or recognize the accomplishments of your child, but I mean, we tend to have just naturally certain favorites. We like some people more than others because our personalities mesh. We get along with them. We have similar interests. But to take it to the point where we're comparing one with another or creating an, what about him? What about them? And then when you're in that position, you're left out. You're the one that is not the favorite. Your obvious question is going to be, what about me? I think some people have that feeling when they come to church. What about me? 2 Corinthians 10, verse 12. And I'm pretty much reading from the New King James Version throughout. "For we dare not class ourselves or compare ourselves with those who commend themselves." And, of course, Paul is making a larger argument about those that are undermining the gospel. "But they, measuring themselves by themselves," and here's the thing, "measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. Too often we choose a group that we're comfortable with, and when we all, then we make comparisons within our group, and we all think we're just fine. It's everybody else that's messed up. So you get a group of people that you agree with, and you create this thought vacuum where there's only certain things that are acceptable and other things are not, and the people that have those other thoughts, well, they're not acceptable either. What about them? Paul says, but he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. For not he who commends himself, what about me? Not he who commends himself is approved, but whom the Lord commends. Wow. Paul also says in Galatians 5:13, for you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use your liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. We're not called to be judges of each other. We're not called to compete with each other or to compare ourselves with each other. We're called to serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. Amen. So the older brother in our story from the scripture was angry. The Bible says that he was angry that his brother was getting a party to celebrate his brother's return. And I've always kind of thought he's mad at his brother. But the Bible doesn't say that. It just says he was angry. Maybe he was mad at his brother. I begin to think that he was angry at his father. So when we become angry among ourselves, one at another, wait a second. When we're saying, what about me? What about him? What about them? Who are we really angry with? Is it our father? Scripture doesn't say who was the focus of his anger. And he held himself up as a model of right behavior. Never have I disobeyed you. Never? That's what we do, isn't it? We have this selective memory. And if we do violate, well, that was just a minor thing. You know, that wasn't very important. That didn't matter. He pointed out his brother's failure and accused his brother of spending his livelihood on harlots. But if you read the first part of the story, it doesn't say that. So we don't know if that's true or not. That's just an accusation. Maybe he did, maybe he didn't. We don't have the facts. And we can make some mighty nasty accusations about our brothers and sisters when we're trying to justify ourselves. Ooh, this is a heavy, heavy message, isn't it? Not where I intended to go when I sat down to prepare. He pointed out his brother's failure, and he faulted his father for blessing the prodigal, and he railed on his father. What about him? What about them? What about me? What about me? Paul the apostle was dealing with the church at Corinth over an extended period of time. And eventually he wrote the second letter of Corinthians. He said in verse 1, this will be the third time I'm coming to you. There's an old saying, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. I don't know about the third time. Three strikes and you're out, I guess. This is the third time I'm coming to you. By the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word shall be established. What's he saying? He's saying, this is it. This is the word that you need to pay attention to. I've told you before. Doesn't it sound like a parent? I've told you before. And I foretell as if I were present the second time. And now being absent, I write to those who have sinned before and to all the rest. That if I come again, I don't make me come back there. Since you seek a proof of Christ speaking in me, who is not weak toward you, but mighty in you. For though he was crucified in weakness, yet he lives by the power of God. What he's talking about, the Spirit of God being at work. For we are also weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God toward you. He's claiming his apostolic authority. Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless indeed you are disqualified. But I trust that you will know that we are not disqualified. Now I pray to God that you do no evil, not that we should appear approved, but that you should do what is honorable, though we may seem disqualified. Do what you know is right. Many believe that Paul was in Ephesus when he wrote this letter. And he had already written at least one time, and we call it 1 Corinthians. But most people believe that there was another letter in between the two of them, that there was one other letter that was sent. So Paul is saying, third time, I'm coming. This is the third letter, evidently. And it may be that his third time visiting them doesn't include the first time when he went to establish the church. So Paul has dealt with these Corinthians extensively over several years, trying to get them on the right track. The church in Corinth needed a lot of attention. They had open, blatant sexual sin in the church that they were allowing, and he had to correct that. They had problem with abuse of spiritual gifts, and he had to correct that in a letter. They had leaders that were rebelling against Paul and his authority as an apostle. And they had what he calls wars and divisions. They were choosing sides. Us and them. In the church. What about them? What about us? What about me? Paul's answer, we read it. Examine yourselves. Examine yourself. We just had a communion service, and that's what Pastor talked about. Examine yourself. That's where the what about me should really come in. In Galatians passage that we read, Paul says we're called to liberty, to freedom. Then why would we want to enslave somebody else with our thought process? We must use this freedom from sin, is what he's talking about, this liberty to pursue God's will in our own life and to build up one another, to bless others. What about me? The older brother labored in his father's house. He was doing all the right things. He was going through the right motions, but he wasn't doing it for the right reasons, evidently. It was, apparently, his motives were very selfish. I'm the older son. I'm going to take this over one day. This is all going to be mine. He was not concerned about his father. He was not concerned about his brother. He was concerned about himself. In the Amplified Version, it says this in Galatians 5. For you, my brothers, were called to freedom, only do not let your freedom become an opportunity for the sinful nature, worldliness, or selfishness, which I think is the case here, but through love, serve and seek the best for one another. What about them? Well, through love, serve and seek what's best for one another. For the whole law concerning human relationships is fulfilled in one precept. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. That is, you shall have an unselfish concern for others and do things for their benefit. But if you bite and devour one another in bickering and strife, be careful, beware, watch out, that you, along with your entire fellowship, are not consumed by one another. You know, the world out there is just dividing up into camps. And, you know, I've got some real strong opinions. I'd be glad to share them with you. But not here. This isn't where that happens. Because I don't want to be caught biting and devouring, bickering and creating strife in the body of Christ. A lot of conviction for me in this message, I can tell you. The Apostle John saw other people who were not part of their band. This is when they were walking with Jesus. John is with the 12, the chosen ones. You know, it's us. We are the 12. They probably had a theme song or something, you know. Someone that was not part of their band casting out demons in the book of Luke. And John was upset that these guys are casting out devils and are not following proper procedure. They're not doing it the way we do it, and they're not even asking our permission. I think we should forbid them. What do you think, Jesus? Jesus said, let them alone. They're doing their best to do the work of God. Don't make enemies out of potential allies. Then Luke says that they passed a Samaritan village. And the people of the village, because they knew Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem for the Passover, they would not welcome him as their guest. And they would not entertain him. Villages that he had been in before. James and John came to Jesus and said, Lord, should we call down fire from heaven and destroy that village? Sometimes we get a little authority. We get a little title, position. We want to use that authority every chance we get. You know the old saying, when you're a hammer, everything looks like a nail. Let's hammer those guys. Let's flex our spiritual muscles. Put them in their place. What about them? Let's show them who's boss. Jesus in Luke 9:55 said, you do not know what manner of spirit you are of. For the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went to another village. Praise God. What about him? What about them? What about me? In John 3, Jesus said, we must be born of the water and the Spirit to enter the kingdom of heaven. We must. Some people think that's like optional, but not according to Jesus. In Acts chapter 2, when the people asked what they should do, they were convicted by Peter's preaching. They said, what do we do? Peter told them, you must repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins and receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Notice, they had to repent for past sins, and that means to be sorry for them and turn away from that behavior, from that lifestyle. And they were to be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission or forgiveness, or an image of it is to be have them wiped from the record. Ananias told Paul when he told him to be baptized that his sins would be washed away. But this was for their past sin. We all have a past. Some of us have an uglier past than others, but we all have a past. But that's how we deal with the past, to repent and be baptized in Jesus' name. But then, Peter said, you'll receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You'll receive the Holy Spirit. That's for the future. Jesus said, wait here till we be endued with power from on high. Paul told the Colossians that it's Christ in us, the hope of glory. That's all future. He told the Romans in Romans 8 that if they didn't have the Spirit of Christ, that they were none of his. And then he went on to say, those that are led by the Spirit of God, they're the sons of God. So we have to ask ourselves, not what about them, not what about him, what about me? Am I led by the Spirit of God? Oh yeah, I've been baptized in Jesus' name. I've been filled with the Holy Ghost. That's not what I asked. Am I led by the Spirit of God? Am I led by the Spirit of God? Romans 8:14, Paul goes on to say, for as many as led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. We all have the same father. The older son, the younger son. It all came back to their relationship with their father. What's your relationship with the Father? The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Is that what's happening in your heart today? Is the Spirit bearing witness? And if children, then heirs, heirs of God. And then he says, and joint heirs. There's no accident that he throws that in there. You may be an heir, but don't forget, we're joint heirs. We're all sharing equally. Joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified. Let's stand. Praise God. I struggle with this a little bit, but then at the end of the first session, Pastor Peter did that little thing about, he said, it doesn't matter what Brother Seidel says or does, it's what God wants me to do. And I thought, ding, 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 ding. Praise God. Are you here today and you want to become a child of God? You want to receive the baptism of his Holy Spirit? We know it happens when we speak in other tongues. But it only happens by God's grace and by faith. We can't make it happen. It's how we respond to the Father. It's not what about them? What about that church? What about this group? What about our... No, it's about you and the Father. You have to ask. We do have to ask, what about me? What does God's word tell me to do? Not what does God's word tell him to do or them to do. What does it tell me to do? What about me? We can start fresh today. Are you a child of God? It's fair to ask because Jesus said it. What spirit are you of? What's your motivation? Have you been led? Have I been led by his Spirit? We can start fresh today. Not what about him? What about them? And it's not what about me? What do I get? That's not it. It's not about what I get. What about me? What do I need to do to please you, my Heavenly Father? What about me? What must I do to be saved? What about me? What must I do to be right with my brother or sister? Praise God. I want to encourage you. I want to urge you to ask yourself, what about me this morning? Praise God. Why don't you come and pray? If you want to know how to be born again, if you want to have someone join with you in prayer to strengthen your faith, there are people here who will come and pray with you. If you want to just pray by yourself, that's fine. Then you have that privilege, that right. Then please do. If you want to pray where you are, please pray before you leave. Ask yourself that question. What about me? Because just like the prodigal's father was waiting for him to come home, and he saw him on the way, just like he went out to talk with the older brother, our Heavenly Father is waiting to meet with you. He wants to bless you. He wants to give you an answer to what about me.
Lord, I surrender.
Continue to keep our pastor and his wife in your prayers as they minister out east. Remember those brothers and sisters who are struggling with serious health issues here, especially those that are battling cancer. Our God is greater. Our God is greater. Hallelujah. Keep God at the center of your life this week, and he will bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.